This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Good afternoon, and thank you for tuning into WRFL Lexington. It's 3 o'clock, and you're listening to Green Talks, where we explore the people and projects that are using the environmental stewardship fee to promote sustainability in the UK community. I'm your host, Sophie Bevan, and I'm the current Director of Outreach for the Student Sustainability Council. The funding for the projects featured on our show comes from the environmental stewardship fee, a $4 fee all UK students pay along with tuition each semester. The ESF, which is expected to generate approximately $190,000 by the end of the school year, is distributed by the Student Sustainability Council, hereafter the SSC, for various projects that enhance the culture of sustainability here at the University of Kentucky. This week, I'm joined by Naki, a junior here at UK studying environmental science. His project is based around bat conservation. So, Naki, we're really excited to have you on this week.
It's great to be here, Sophie. Thanks for having me.
No problem. So, can you just give me a brief overview of your project, like what it's all about, just to get us started?
Yeah, sure. We titled the project Bat Conservation at McConnell Springs, and it really is centered around putting up some artificial bat habitat at this city park. But also, it just kind of springs from, I think, something that's gaining a lot of traction in many circles right now, which is an interest in our urban forests and what kind of conservation projects, what kind of ecologically based initiatives can we put together, not necessarily where you'd expect to see them in some of the larger forests outside of our cities, but even inside a new circle road.
Yeah, exactly. That's why, so you chose to have this at McConnell Springs, right? Which is a urban forest within the city of Lexington. So can you talk a little bit about why you decided to have this project here?
Yeah, I chose McConnell Springs for a couple reasons. One was just convenience. I happen to work there part-time, so I know the area pretty well. I have a good relationship with park management, staff, and so forth. And it's also just a hotbed of ecological diversity as far as the urban environment of Lexington. Certainly it has a great historical kind of role to play in our consciousness of the area, but the hydrology, the geology, certainly the presence of the springs, that riparian forest that's there, is all pretty unique for inside Lexington, and it makes it a pretty good place to do something like this. On top of all that, we had some data dating back a couple years that indicated that there might be some endangered bat species that are already using the park, so it really made sense to try and enhance their habitat in that area.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah, because McConnell Springs is such a complex ecosystem, even though it's within the city limits. So is there any like particular location within the park that you decided to put or to implement this project, or why did you decide to put these bat structures where you are planning on putting them?
Yeah, so there's two tiers to that answer. At sort of the micro scale, observations over the last couple years, we've seen bats kind of emerge in the twilight from, for those that are familiar with McConnell Springs, down around where the ponds are, and then they kind of circle around to where the paved path starts. And they tend to go through this area that we call the meadow, where we try to have some native grasses growing and things like that. These particular artificial habitat structures, which are these kind of standing telephone poles, you want a little bit of clearance from other vegetation. You want them in an open area where the bats can see them, get the right visual cues, say, hey, I want to roost there. So that meadow really works well, especially since we know bats are already there. And then zooming out a little bit at the macro scale, we have a number of other areas kind of surrounding the park, the Lexington Cemetery, some of the golf courses in that area, and Preston's Cave Spring Park, which is where the karst conduit from McConnell Springs ultimately comes out and enters Wolf Run. That is also a park where we think we probably have some endangered bat activity, or at least the possibility of creating habitat for them. So really any kind of habitat enhancement that we can do in that area, it creates not just, you know, something good for the bats, but also something that we can build on for future projects.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's really beneficial to have these structures in an urban area because a lot of the bat habitat is being decreased because of increased urbanization. So I think it's really an effective place to have these new habitats for them. And it also has like an educational outlet for park visitors and also like students who come there that they can like visually see these structures and see how they can impact like a habitat at this local scale.
Absolutely. I've been talking to some students in Dr. Mary Arthur's forest ecology class this semester who have gotten to go on a field trip to McConnell Springs, and they talked a little bit about the project. And that's just great to hear because obviously this is being funded by the student environmental stewardship fee, but it is an off-campus project. So on the one hand, that's a little bit of a hard sell sometimes, but when students can go, they can benefit directly. They can see wildlife management practices such as these habitats, even without having to leave Lexington. I think that's really valuable for some of these programs like forestry, natural resources, environmental science, and so forth.
Yeah, exactly. I'm in that forest ecology class, and when we took the field trip there last week, we all saw Naki, and so we could like see what he was doing. And yeah, the park manager was just going on and on about how great this project is. So it does have a lot of student impact because it's a pretty large class that we went out there, and I know that other classes go out there pretty often too. So it's just interesting that it's like off campus, but it's still extremely accessible for all of our students, which is really important with the environmental stewardship fee. And so just like in general, like how did you get the idea for this project? Like had you had prior experience with this, or did it just come out of the blue, or like what was your thought process behind it?
It really sort of arose organically. I was looking at that area of town just sort of generally, as I'd mentioned, especially the connection between McConnell Springs and Preston Cave Springs really interested me, sticks out to me on a map as something that we need to enhance and preserve and build off of. And so I was talking to a buddy of mine, Andrew Berry, who's the forest manager at Bernheim. I was actually down there visiting him at his job. And he was talking about these bat structures. They're called Brandenbark. Brandenbark is kind of the proprietary name. This particular product is made by Copperhead Consulting out of Fort Knox. So it is like a local design that's geared towards our conditions here in Kentucky. And they had a lot of success down at Bernheim using this, putting in the Brandenbark, and then, you know, within a month or two of installation, having confirmed Indiana bat, Myotis sodalis, which is a endangered species, federally listed endangered species, confirmed at those sites. So looking at these urban parks and how do we enhance them, how do we build public participation and interest and maybe generate future sources of funding for other projects of this kind, bats are just a really great topic. Obviously, bat conservation has become a big issue recently with white nose and more people kind of finding out about all that and getting interested in that sort of thing. Certainly in my major, natural resources, environmental science, a lot of people want to become bat researchers in one way or another. They're charismatic mammals. You know, everybody wants to do something cool like, bat research, really. So focusing on the bats, I think, is something. There's a lot of money for conservation there. There's a lot of great research, such as the development of technologies like this artificial habitat, the Brandenbark. So it made it a really good way to jump in, do like a kind of a splash project that we can talk about later, keep people interested. And we already saw that it was effective in this area because we had them at Bernheim.
Yeah, for sure, definitely. So speaking of like the actual structures themselves, can you give our listeners just like a visual of like what exactly they look like? Because I've seen a picture of them, and it was just like not really what I was expecting. So can you just explain that?
Yeah. So most people think of bat houses, right, which could literally be a wood box nailed to the side of a tree. What we're after with this is bark roosting bats. So these are bats that have a habit, usually during mating season, that they need kind of like a standing snag, a dead tree, something of mature size, mature growth, so something that's probably not going to be too frequently found in an urban environment. And they need bark that's kind of sloughing off the surface, creating this cavity underneath that they can get up into. And that creates, certain temperature conditions and so forth that these bats need in order to breed and survive. And they also need several of these sites. It can't just really be one snag, because a female Indiana bat, for instance, can change roosts every couple days. So it needs to be a whole stand of these guys. So what this particular Brand & Bark product is all about is basically untreated telephone poles. We stick them in the ground, bury them about 5 feet deep, so they're sticking out like 25 feet in the air. And then around the tops of them, we screw in this rubber kind of mat that looks like bark on the outside, and then on the inside has all these little pockets that kind of mimic the natural nooks and crannies that bats would want to get into on a real bark surface. So really, to the eye, because the mats are formed in such a way to look like natural bark, you're just going to be on the trail at McConnell Springs. Maybe you'll look up into the meadow, and you'll see what looks like a couple dead trees, maybe.
Interesting. Yeah. And so how many of these exactly did you all get, or you're going to install?
We were able to secure funding for three. I kind of just tried to get the lowest number possible. We weren't sure that this money was going to come through, that people would even be interested in doing something off campus. Obviously, it's great that we did. But Copperhead, again, the manufacturers of this product, they say 3 to 5 is really the minimum that you want at a site. So with these three going up, we can expand off that in the future. This is a great pilot project for maybe getting some at, say, the Arboretum or UK South Farm or places like that.
Yeah, for sure. So, like, what stage are you on now? Have you installed them, or when are you going to install them?
They just at the end of August, we actually received delivery of the poles. So the poles are at the park. That was kind of the first step. It's been tricky. Anyone who's worked with city government and private contractors and so on and so forth will tell you that coordination is always tough. So the poles are on site. We have not augured out the holes yet in the meadow to stick them in. We're expecting to meet with a biologist from Copperhead here in the next month or so, and we'll check that the siting is correct, and then hopefully we can get the posts in the ground. We're not really in a huge hurry right now because bat season is kind of tapering off for the year. So as long as we can get them in by next spring, I think we'll be able to have some really good effect there. We also just last week purchased some bat netting. This particular project that the SSC funded also included some nets that we have a partner, Jason Robinson at Biological Systems Consultants, who's going to come through and do some mist netting for us, basically just do some monitoring to try and see if we can get further confirmation that there are Indiana bats or what other species might be on site.
That's cool. So do you think you're going to be using extra volunteers for that, or like could anyone get involved with implementing these, or is it more of just like a privately owned, like not privately owned, but like a more of just like you all in McConnell Springs, since it is such a high level and like really hands-on work?
Yeah, we always want to be careful with that, because like I mentioned a moment ago, I mean, people just love doing bat work and they want to be able to get that kind of experience, and I'm no different, really. This is great stuff that we're doing. So I don't want to speak for Jason or anyone at his company. I think he's doing this as kind of a favor for the city to come out, and you know, we buy him the nets, he'll come and give us his time and expertise. I'm going to be in communication with him, and we're going to try to make this as open as possible to anyone who wants to gain some experience from it. We do want to ultimately have some sort of educational event at the McConnell Springs Nature Center to really kind of inaugurate these posts when they're finally in the ground. We also have an ongoing relationship with the UK Greenhouse Club. They kind of acted as a sponsor for this project, so their members will probably get first shot at any kind of experience with Jason. Now, that would, probably be more like observing than actually getting hands-on with the bats,
right? Yeah, more
like
an educational, experiencing it, which is completely understandable. So we'll actually be right back. We're going to take a break for a quick commercial, so keep on listening for the next part. Hey, and welcome back to Green Talks. This week we have Naki, who is a junior studying environmental science, and we're just talking about his project, which is based on bat conservation at McConnell Springs. So just to hop right back into it, so how do you see what do you see in the future of this project? Like, what is your end goal after this completion?
Well, definitely once the posts are in the ground and we have some sort of educational event, inaugural event around it, that will complete all the requirements of the grant that we wrote, I guess, or the request for funding, however you want to look at it. But from there, we're looking to have some actual monitoring at McConnell Springs around the post sites and, again, around that adjacent park, Crescent Cave Springs, in late spring of 2018. So from there, depending on what kind of data we get, we'll start shopping that around, start putting it together with some other data that we have about the biodiversity at these different sites, sort of their intrinsic ecological value and so forth. We've also been putting up trail cams in between the two parks to try and get a picture of who's moving between them. We know that the deer and other kind of urban fauna like that are using them, but it's really nice to just kind of have documentation of all that. And so we'll bundle that all together and see what it looks like, see what it suggests to us, you know, approaching this from a permaculture design kind of standpoint. You want to see what the natural environment is suggesting to you. And then we'll pick the next step from there. And certainly we're always looking for partners. We'll definitely be looking for funding to do additional projects, maybe some cleanups at Crescent Cave Spring, which is a bit of a neglected riparian area. So really, sky's the limit. I encourage people to talk to park management, get involved with Parks and Recreation and so forth in Lexington, and tell them that you're interested in seeing these kinds of projects continue.
No, yeah, that's awesome. I'm really excited to see once all the polls are in and seeing how everything comes together, because I think it sounds like an extremely well thought out project and will be extremely effective, especially in this area. So kind of just like to transition a little, you proposed this when you were not on the SSC and now you're a member of the SSC. So how is just like your experience now granting funds been, or how has your experience on the SSC been so far?
Oh, it's definitely interesting. There is a little bit, I think, as with anything, when you become an insider, when you had just been looking from the outside, you know, the curtain lifts a little bit and you're like, you know what, this isn't, yeah, it's $200,000 that you guys, or we, I guess, are administering, but it's really just students doing it. It's very kind of down to earth. You know, we talk about these projects, we discuss their merits, and I think that's pretty cool. I definitely want to, you know, it's hard to not get ambitious when you see the successes that are coming out of this environmental stewardship fee and the kind of cool projects that people have done in the past. It's like, okay, what else you guys got? Like, come on, bring us more stuff. Personally, you know, I really want to applaud, and this isn't just because it's my project, but I really want to applaud the SSC for showing some pretty bold leadership in giving funding to a project off campus. Actually, we were just discussing yesterday in our class in NRE 201 yeah. about the commitment that the college has made to reducing its fossil fuel emissions in the next several years. And there was a statement from the college president there about just how well positioned UK is to kind of provide that example to set the standard for those kinds of things. And I think, you know, it really behooves us to, you know, as someone who lived in Lexington for a long time before I came to UK, I think it behooves us as members of the university community to look at all the resources we have here and say, why aren't we reaching out and doing more off campus? You know, I mean, these urban forests and things of that nature, they certainly still affect the student body. They act as resources for the student body. And to the extent that we can increase the stability, the beauty of that biodiversity, we're all benefiting from it, right? So,
yeah, exactly. Like, I like how President Capilouto said that we are a flagship university in the state, that it's important for us to set that precedent for other schools in the region. And so I think having as many ongoing projects as possible is a really great opportunity for our university to further itself as a sustainable institution. So that's why I think your project is among many great projects. So Naki, thank you so much for coming on this week. We really appreciate you coming.
Thank you again for having me.
And so now we're just going to have a few closing announcements. Once again, the SSC is providing funding to send 5 students to ASHE this year, which is the Association for the Advancement of Sustainability in Higher Education. And it's a 3-day conference in San Antonio this year, and applications are due September 20th. And more information about this can be found on our Facebook, Instagram, and website, so you can check that out if you're interested. And all SSC meetings are open to the public, and they are announced on our website as well. And you can keep up with our current projects, meetings, events, and how to submit your own project proposal at our website. You can go on Facebook and Instagram and find us at UKY_SSC. So thank you for listening, and I'll be back next week to talk about another project funded from the SSC.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm. And, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to wrfl.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.